This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Good morning, good morning, good morning! You're listening to Get Serial Saturdays with Sam and Jules bright and early on Sin 90.7!
Woo! Happy weekend, everyone! Happy long weekend! It's Easter Saturday!
Yes, it is! Enjoy eating all that chocolate and just having the best weekend chilling out.
Yep. Sam, I am so excited because not only is it Easter, but there's been some very exciting news when it comes to our furry, furry friends. Not just the Easter Bunny, but I'm talking all about dogs.
Yes, dogs, dogs. I can't wait to see all about that and hear all about it.
At first it was the dog cafes, then dogs were getting manicures. Now there's even a dog-inclusive activity that you can do with your furry friend, and we'll reveal it in just a few minutes. Oh, we're getting excited in the studio here for Saturday morning. It's Get Serial Saturdays. Sam and Jules on Sid 90.7. That was New Radicals, You Get What You Give. We're having a bit of a party here in the studio.
I forgot how awesome that song was.
Bit of a cute little throwback to 1998.
Yeah.
Get inspired.
Yes, each week I read out an inspirational quote or saying to get you to wake up and get out there, think, absorb that sunlight and love whilst you still can. Some sinspiration.
You love your puns, don't you?
I do. I do. And I work in the sinspiration quite a lot if you see it all over our Facebook page, all over Twitter. So yeah, maybe someone needs to tell me to stop.
Nah, keep going. That won't be me.
Yeah. Well, a quote that I have for you today is by Refuse to Obey Journal, which is a Tumblr profile.
Okay.
And the quote is, "You will meet many types of people in your life. You will meet delicate flowers, raging oceans, quiet forests, towering mountains and colourful skies. You will meet thunderstorms. You will meet lightning. They will knock you down and they will leave you breathless. You will meet sunrises. You will meet gardens. They will give you light. They will take you on adventures. Explore them. Get lost with them. They all have something to teach you."
Beautiful. And beautifully read too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was trying to do that like perfectly, so I'm glad that it came out well.
Oh, yeah.
Does this sort of resonate with you, Julia?
People are beautiful flowers.
Like, do you find that there's people in your life that have been thunderstorms and lightning that have knocked you back, but then there's also been people like gardens that have helped you grow?
That people are quite intense in terms of like the seasonality of them, or
no, more that like I think it's more the negative people who have, you know, negatively impacted your life would be thunder. They, you know, they scare you, they knock you back, they make you not want to come out of your shell. But then you've got gardens that make you want to sit with them every single day and just absorb who they are as a person, like somebody that's just really charismatic that you're just absolutely drawn to. Do you find,
well, it's very earthly. I like it.
Yeah. I really like this one. I really do, because I just thought, like,
we're personified and grounded in nature, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's what is essentially the essence of this, the seedling of this.
I would say, Julia, you would be like one of those beautiful rose gardens.
Oh, thank you.
That's how I would envision you, is that you've helped me grow into radio and you've helped me grow into the person who I am, because, you know, you've been through all of high school with me and you've always been somebody I can rely on and somebody I can always come back to. And I think you're definitely like my little rose garden.
Well, thanks, Sam.
It's kind of a cute little quote.
I picture you to be a... You have to be a sunflower. You have to be something that's super bright, sunny, everyone's smiling, the warmth of the sun.
Oh, that's so cute. I love being a sunflower. I love that they find the sun as well. Have you noticed, like, they will look towards the sun, which I think is, yeah.
It's like dogs and cats. They're like, laugh it up.
Yes, yes.
Give it all to me.
Definitely, all the sunbathing.
Sam, we're talking all about the Easter Bunny this weekend, but I just wanted to put the spotlight a little bit more on our furrier, maybe smaller friends, depends on what scale we're looking at.
Yeah, yeah, our little companions back at home.
Yeah, the doggos, the puppers.
Ah, the pupper, the pupperinos, hey?
You know, dogs are our best friends. They sometimes share our beds. Mm-hmm. They go out for cappuccinos, doggachinos with us.
Yeah, sometimes they share our food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, they definitely try, but oh, yeah. Sometimes they're very spoiled. Mm-hmm. They go on road trips with us. They go to pretty much everywhere that we go with them.
Yes.
And
yes.
Until a point, it just stopped. It stopped. They were like, okay, you know what? There's some places where dogs aren't allowed. Mm. That's fine. The dogs understood. The people understood. They shook paws over it. Like, that's okay. That's human territory here.
Yeah.
But no longer. Because now, Sam, dogs mm-hmm. can go to the movies with us.
Oh, my God. Really?
Really.
Wow. Oh, my God. I would never imagine taking my dog to the movies.
Well, that's exactly what happened in Ireland. Because Ireland in Dublin, there was a movie screening, a movie theatre, where they had their first ever dog-friendly cinema open to the dogs, and just a lot of woofers happening.
I could imagine.
Oh, my goodness. I reckon it would just be absolute chaos, but totally adorable, totally fun, and absolutely a delight for the dogs.
I have a question, actually.
Yeah.
What would they have seen? What film?
Yeah, look, when I heard this story, I was like, could they have seen Cats and Dogs? Could mm-hmm. they have seen 101 Dalmatians, maybe?
Mm-hmm, they could have.
Maybe it was Lassie.
Maybe it was Red Dog.
Yes. Maybe it was Marley and Me. Maybe they would have got very emotional at the end.
Yes, or a classic episode of Inspector Rex.
Yes. But no, they actually saw Isle of Dogs.
Oh, yes, the new Wes Anderson movie?
I think so.
Yes.
So basically it was to obviously promote this new film that's just come out.
Mm-hmm.
Why not invite a whole bunch of dogs to this Dublin screening? And they had blankets to protect themselves, all the fur from the seats. So, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to get them, have to be professionally cleaned afterwards.
Yeah.
I imagine they had a plan in action and plan in place in case there was a few accidents.
Yeah, probably. Well, they probably had maybe a little way of getting out and so the dogs could go out. But like 2 hours isn't too long unless your dog's kind of really young or really old.
Maybe. Oh, you can imagine when there's lots of other dogs there, they just want to get overexcited,
yeah.
overstimulated. They just want to be like, oh, friends, or oh, get me away. I need a nervous pee.
Yeah. Oh, can't control it.
Yeah. But, yeah, it got me thinking, do dogs, can they really appreciate film? Because we know that it's such a cute idea. Why not have your dog everywhere you go?
Mm.
But can dogs really go and appreciate the, you know, the Steven Spielbergs?
Well, from my experience of my dog, Roxy, watching the TV, she can recognize other dogs. She recognizes horses, which she does not like. She doesn't like other dogs, doesn't like other horses. So
how does she react to
them?
She barks, okay.
Yeah. And she'll growl and like, we have to sort of calm her down. She thinks she's like protecting the family and we're like, it's okay. It's just the TV.
She is very animated with her differentiations between sounds.
Yes.
For my dog, he just has the one bark. It's classic bark. He will bark, same with watching TV. If he'll, mm-hmm. I'll catch him watching things, but then if there's any four-legged creature, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's mm-hmm. a horse, he'll be like, oh, that's a dog, gotta bark.
Yep. A mouse? Anything?
Does a mouse have four legs? Probably.
Does a mouse have four legs?
No, they have
three. They're really strange. They hop around on one
a
front
goat,
foot.
That'll do.
A goat, yeah.
Anything with four legs, he will go nuts for. But another thing that people probably know about dogs is that they can pick up higher frequencies than the human ear can.
Yes, yes.
So perhaps they are the best critics for these films because they can be like, ah, the sound tech, they missed that, pick up there.
So would this like leak into music, I guess, that like when we play music at a party, it would be like incredibly loud for them, but would they be able to hear all the little details of the music that, you know, like if you put on like headphones and you're listening intently and you hear all those little details, they must be able to hear that just at the drop of a hat, you know.
Maybe we need to bring more dogs along to things more often.
And like, you know, monitor their brainwaves and see what sparks up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I say more dogs, the merrier.
Yes, it is Easter long weekend. And Julia, I'm just taking stock this weekend and looking at our traditions as Australians.
Oh.
And asking, what do Australians value? We are very proud.
Excellent. Proud people. We are proud. Yeah, I like to kind of take stock. So what a perfect moment to do it.
So something that I think Australians value, which really works for this weekend, is public holidays for the sake of having a day off.
Never say no to an extra day off work.
Yeah. Everybody, why not? Everybody is just like, we should just make that like a national day off day, you know? Let's all just go home early.
Yeah. I mean, saying to your boss, see you, bro. See you, mate.
I feel like we have more public holidays on average than probably the rest of the world.
Pulling in a sickie. Yeah. Yeah. What about saying to your boss, just getting on their level? Everyone calls each other mate because we all, we don't have a hierarchy here.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
We're all one and the same.
We value that. Like, oh, how you going, mate?
How you going, mate? Hey, boss.
Hey, cobber.
Hey, cobber.
Or
cheese, bro.
All of that lingo. we value our way of shortening names, sentences, occupations.
Yes.
Arvo, Bicky.
Yep.
You know.
Kappa.
Yeah. Dave-O.
Dave-O.
trying
Garbo.
To get some other.
Garbo.
All tradie, that.
Chippy.
Sparky.
Sparky.
Sparky. All that. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. And I mean, speaking of cuppers, you know, we're all ready to chip in a hand for a Sunday sesh or a good old Barbie or bring out the Tim Tams.
Yeah. And ready for a gas bag over a cuppa.
Yep. Yep. That's definitely one of the values that we have here in Australia.
Definitely.
I mean, we're so proud, I think, of being so inclusive and laid back and calling one another the same. And, you know, just we're really a laid back country. And I think that's one of the things we pride ourselves on. And especially on these long weekends.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think Australians are very good at this and very proud of the fact that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
No, we don't.
Except when it's footy season.
Oh, my God. There's nothing better than footy season. Everyone just gets so proud and so precious of who they go for.
Yep.
And, you know, speaking, I suppose, of Australian values, there is nothing better than sitting down at the footy and getting your hands around a meat pie with your bare hands. And you go, oh, yep. That is Australia to me.
I actually saw a really funny video and I saw somebody eating a meat pie with a knife and fork.
No. No, that... Sam, that's un-Australian.
I knew it was going to upset you because it upset me too. You just... I looked at this video. So they're starting to sell, you know, the 4 and 20 pies that you get at footy.
Yeah.
And they're selling them at a Philadelphia 69ers game. So they're trying to bring them into America. And
this
video was of this American eating a pie without sauce, by the way.
No, wrong.
And cutting it into quarters.
No, also wrong.
With a knife and fork. And
no,
then
just throw it away.
And
start again.
He used the fork. He picked it up with the fork, the quarter, and ate it. And he was like, oh, it's okay.
What are you doing, mate?
He said it's okay.
It's okay?
Mm.
All right. Well, clearly you're not Australian and you're not doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just an atrocious, and if I will... It is a sin.
yeah, it was a sin.
Definitely. Is it going too far? I don't think so.
No, we're going to keep rolling out the puns.
Right, yeah.
Well, because I think Americans are used to fruit pies, and like I think that's what you would do with fruit pies, right?
Yeah, surely. Because I know that in America they call pizza pie, and I never quite got that.
Yeah, yeah, pizza pie. I think it's just a pizza folded in half, right?
I guess. Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go to America and check
for
it out.
Things.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to go to America and check it out. Oh. But I thought this was another thing Australians are typical of doing is being quite precious about the way that we do things. And when other people get it wrong, it is the worst thing in the world. And I think
clearly.
Australians just spot on with that.
I've just exemplified that, haven't I?
Yeah.
Sam, I went to the French Film Festival on Tuesday night.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Oh, how fancy, Julia.
Julia? Julia?
Yeah, that's me.
look, Sam, it was an interesting adventure, but it also taught me a lot about my faith in technology.
Mm.
So I was off to the French Festival, meeting up with a friend at the Como Cinemas. For you Melbourne guys playing along, hopefully you know where that is. It's, you know, in South Yarra. So it was an easy 15 minutes away from work, so I had an hour to get there. So I thought, plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, heaps.
So Of course, I type in Como into my Google Maps and I blindingly follow its directions.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells me that there's construction on the train line that I was going to take. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll jump on another one. Then my friend messages me and she's like, she's at the cinemas. And I'm like, yep, no worries. I'm two stops away. Won't be long. 15-minute trip.
Easy.
Yeah. And then she's like, why two stops? And I was like, oh, I'm at this station. She's like, no, get off the train now. Because, you know, you need to get off of that stop. I'm like, no, it's roadwork. She's like, no, that's on the weekend. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So that was the first red flag that I was like, I should check my my Google Maps. Am I relying on technology?
Yeah.
So I get off the train and then I wait at the tram stop for about 2 minutes. And, of course, you know, blinding faith in technology, I don't realise I need to be on the other side. So I was standing at the tram stop like an idiot. I cross the road onto the other side. I wait. And then a lady walks up to me. And then I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then all of a sudden, she turns to me and she whacks me on the arm. And I was like, have I done something wrong?
What?
Out of nowhere.
What?
And then I am so surprised I don't know what to say because I just look at her and I see her face is blue, like a tinge of blue. And I was like, okay. She's not quite right. Let's just ignore that. And there was a girl that witnessed it behind me. And we just both exchanged a look and we were like,
just look at each other like, what just happened?
What is happening?
So she stood next to you and then she just turned you and hit you.
Yeah.
And then turned back and just focused on herself.
Then she continued to walk onto the road while the traffic light was still green.
Oh my God.
So she wasn't quite right. But I brushed it off and I thought, all right, cool. I'll wait for my tram. So I waited another 6 minutes, get on the tram, and I get another message from my friend Sarah. How far away are you? I'm like, oh, I'm about three stops. Just got on the tram. I'll see you soon. Then Sarah goes, why three stops?
Oh, I can't.
It's not that far away. And I suddenly, while I'm on the tram, I zoom in on the course that the map's directions is taking me along. And I realised I've blindingly typed in Como, and the last time that I was at Como was Como House and Gardens, not Como Cinemas.
No.
So this whole time I'm sitting on the tram and I haven't realised that I've passed all the shops. I've gone to Como Cinemas before. I know what it looks like. And I even passed my old, my work, because there's a chain of them. And I've even passed that. I'm like, oh, look, there's my work. So I'm noticing my surroundings and I'm just not aware of it.
Nothing's clicking in.
Completely not aware. Oh, dear. So I suppose that was really a lesson for me to allow 15 minutes to get somewhere. I had a whole hour and I just made it in time because of all these obstacles that I gave myself. I could have just avoided it by looking at what I typed into the map.
Yeah, this is definitely a life lesson. Don't trust technology and also talk to your friends regularly because they'll probably say, two stops? Three stops? And question you. It's always
she questioned me. She called me and then she's like, all right, we'll get there in time. Yeah.
It's like, I'll just wait here for you, Julia.
Get popcorn.
Get streaming.
Get watching.
Get on the couch.
With Sam. Yes, each week I have a look at a film, a TV series. Maybe it's theatre, maybe it's a documentary, something that's been hitting high ratings or something that I've heard through the grapevine. And this week I have Red Sparrow, the new movie that's come out with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
The story is about a Russian ballet dancer in the prime of her career. Unfortunately, she breaks her leg and she's unable to perform. And so the government finds another way for her to be useful for the Russian people.
Oh.
Unfortunately, she witnesses something that she shouldn't have and she has to make a choice, like we heard in the clip, die or become a sparrow.
Right.
And she makes her choice. So we've got...
Let me guess, sparrow?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's called Red Sparrow, I guess. Yeah. So we've got Jennifer Lawrence, who is Dominica.
Mm.
We've got Matthias Schoas, who is playing her uncle called Vanya.
Mm.
And we've got Joel Edgerton, who plays Nate Nash, who is an American spy in Russia that finds himself sort of drawn towards Dominica and for work as well as
other interests. And it's directed by Francis Lawrence, no relation to Jennifer Lawrence.
I know,
they got the same last name. And interestingly, he directed I Am Legend, all of the Hunger Games movies, and also Water for Elephants. So interesting that she got the role when she was in all of the Hunger Games films, so they must work really well together. But anyway, this film is based on the 2013 novel by the same name by Jason Matthews.
Cool.
So you know that when it's based on a book, it's usually really good.
Yes. Or there's a lot of debate between which one was better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Mm. Yeah, because I haven't read the book. I only saw the movie. Maybe I should read the book and then review that. But what I loved about it is that it's a woman spy movie. Normally you've got, you know, the James Bond type of spy movie. And it was just so good to watch a woman use her power over men and what that sort of men want to overpower her, I guess, as a woman. And she used that against them.
Did she use her ballet skills at any stage during the film?
No, not really, actually, which is a bit of a shame. But I loved her fashion. I felt like because she was a ballet dancer, she has very, you know, good fashion.
Yeah.
So lots of ideas there that I've taken away. It was a bit full on with the violence, but I kind of liked the fact that they didn't hold back. And so it was incredibly realistic.
Right.
Which, because you didn't want just a gory movie. So I loved it. It was a good old fashioned spy movie, a good movie to take your parents to. So check it out. A bit confusing at the end. So maybe you want to read something about it after watching it, but definitely check it out. It's just fantastic for action and spy movies.
Oi, Cobber.
Yeah, mate.
Don't you know it's almost 9?
Nah, mate, lost me phone.
Yeah, all right, I'm just trying to say it's time for the crazy news update of the week.
Well, then would you shut up, mate?
All right.
This morning on Sin 90.7's crazy news update of the week.
Darwin residents were shaken awake on Monday morning by an earthquake with a magnitude tremor of 6.6. The quake shocked Australians at 5:44 a.m., hundreds of miles from the source in the Banda Sea of Indonesia. A number of buildings were shaking in the Northern Territory's top end.
A man in Barwon Heads has impaled his groin on a fence and was taken to hospital last Saturday night. Paramedics were forced to free him from the fence before they could treat him in Geelong Hospital. It is still unknown why he was trying to climb the fence in the first place.
Hey, music lovers, there's great news to get you out and see more of your favourite bands. A study that's come fresh out of the UK has revealed a positive link between regular concert attendance with greater well-being and even life expectancy. The behavioural science study looked at the psychology and the heart rates of live music lovers and learned that seeing a live gig once a fortnight can increase our time on Earth by 9 years.
And finally, for the biggest celebrity scandal of 2018 so far, everybody wants to know who bit Beyoncé. Actress Tiffany Haddish has tipped off the press saying that an unnamed woman had nibbled of Queen Bey's cheek at a party she attended last year. In an interview with GQ dropped this week, Haddish claimed that she was ready to put up a fight for her friend but could not reveal who the perpetrator was. And the current front runners, according to Beyoncé's loyal fan base, include Lena Dunham, Gwyneth Paltrow and Lindsay Lohan. Clearly, somebody must be crazy in love.
Clearly.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Yes, get up and start listening. You're listening to Get Cereal Saturdays with Sam and Jules on Sin 90.7.
Get some cereal in your bowl. Get some
happiness. Get some happiness in your life. Yeah, get that Easter bunny and start digging into all that chocolate and those eggs.
Get some fiber because you'll be eating a lot of chocolate. So
yeah,
that's ideal.
Take care of yourself. Have some good food, not just chocolate.
Sam, yes, it is Easter Saturday. But of course, we also want to be talking all about your Bumble bio because last week, we have been on quite the journey trying to write you a bio to see if you can get some more matches.
Yeah, and the reason why I need a bio is that I actually didn't have one and I was thinking, oh, I kind of don't want to write it myself. Some of my friends were saying, you don't have a bio, like you don't put on a bio, like that's just weird. And I was thinking, you know what? Julia's a fantastic writer.
Julia has a bio.
I will outsource this
to Julia and she will help me with it. So I will let you know just after this song whether it was successful or not. Julia, last week we were talking about how I did not have a bio for my Bumble profile.
Every time.
I love the little bees. They're so cute. And I outsourced it to a writer, which is you, and I got you to write three different versions. So let's hear something from last week. I had just downloaded Bumble. I originally got it because I was feeling a little bit out of it. You know, my friends were talking about going on dates, having a really good time, being taken out for dinner and all that. And I kind of felt a little bit out of it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to cave. I'm going to get it. Put up my photos. I'm not going to put a bio up just because I didn't really know what to write.
No, you didn't know what to write.
No, I'm not very good with explaining myself. And I feel like I need too many words and they give you a limit. There's a limit and I don't like that.
The limit does not exist. Well, it does in Bumbleland.
Yeah, it does. So I decided to pick one of your options that you had given me and see whether it was successful or not.
And? How did you go?
Well, okay, look, I don't know whether it was because it was the long weekend or I don't know. I was very busy. Other people were busy. Everyone's getting up towards Easter, so I thought maybe people weren't swiping enough. I'll just read out what the bio is. Mm-hmm. So it's, do you be leaf, with the B and mm-hmm. a leaf, mm-hmm. in Bumble before love? Missing. One primary school art teacher often seen behind a mic in front of a camera or singing to her cats. And that is very, very true. Likes, long nights, sunny days, and great conversation. Will respond to Sam, Sham, Sammy, and Goat Yelps. Reward if found, priceless.
You know, I think that was a good bio, and I'm very disappointed that it wasn't a great success.
No, it wasn't at all. And
so no one asked you about the bio. No one made any conversations about it.
No. So I was like hectically swiping because I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I want to get a response for this.
Mm. All for the show. Yeah, of course.
I swiped on a few people and made an effort to say something about their bio. If they didn't have a bio, I said to them like,
Where's your bio?
Yeah, like, you know, tell me something about yourself because you got no bio. Like I was trying to draw their attention to it.
Look at my bio.
Yeah. Or if they said something about like sport or music or art or whatever their job was, I made a mention of that and directly said bio.
And there was so much that they could work with in that bio
to know
about you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I had a few people respond about things that were just answering my questions and then maybe not asking me
Maybe this is the thing. Maybe people don't read anymore and they don't have the time to do it. Yeah, maybe the long weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that we are lazy and we just skim through things, and that's the whole idea of all these dating apps, that you're making such quick decisions so quickly based on something that you see visually. You're like, do I have time to read?
And isn't that quite shallow?
It's just very shallow.
Looking very sad. At the pictures. And I don't know, I find that I have a lot of conversations where I'm continuously asking the guys, you know, what do you do for work? What are you doing on the weekend? Like, oh, that's really funny. Like, you know, and like making comments about what they've said. And a lot of the time the conversation dies because they don't ask me anything about myself. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sick of this. I've asked them like five questions. They've asked me nothing about myself. So I had like three people just not even reply.
What?
Maybe like five that replied and didn't say anything to continue the conversation. So out of that, no one.
That's so disappointing.
So disappointing.
My prediction was that this weekend would have had peak activity on dating apps because you've got Good Friday. So many things are closed. So many people are chilling out at home.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that more people would be using it.
Well, look, I'll try it again over this long weekend and just see how it goes, because it was before the long weekend, I have to admit.
True.
So we will see. Maybe people are more open for social things, but I think maybe it's the product.
Maybe it could be. I mean, maybe we need to give the trial a bit more sample time.
Yeah, yeah.
I was also thinking, if it doesn't work as well, I actually tried not a pickup line, but a sort of throwaway line to people that didn't respond to me after a while. So, you know, say if you're chatting to someone and you're having a back and forth and then all of a sudden they don't respond. I came up with a line that my friend I stole from her.
Basically. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is it?
That was, thank you for your 15-day trial.
I like that.
Maybe you can use that, Sam. If someone doesn't respond, you've already chatted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to pique their interest, just to remind them that you're around, it's kind of cheeky. It kind of shows that you don't care that much.
I like it.
It's a 15-day trial, and then boom, mic drop, you're out.
Yep, I like that. And if I don't get replies, I'm going to unmatch them.
Mm.
I feel like I'm very harsh. Like, if I don't get a reply, I'm like, unmatch, see you later. Like, you've had your time.
True, so, there is a chance it couldn't work, but let's try it for another week. Or maybe, we know you've got a bit of attention online from a not-so-secret admirer, would I say?
Yeah,
we've noticed someone on Facebook. We'll reveal who it is very, very soon if you want to keep an eye on the Get Serial Facebook page. But maybe, Sam, that's quite the love story that you could have there.
Maybe somewhere to go there. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think he knows who we're talking about. But just so we're clear, your girlfriend is very lucky to have a funny guy like you.
Yes. And for joining in on the joke, we're all just joking here. But yeah, check out our Get Serial Facebook page. We will reveal soon. And next week, I will try it again and see what I can come up with.
Hopefully this week makes you feel better. Like our next song, this is Make Me Feel Better, the Klingon remix by Alex Adair. Here on Sin 90.7, it's Get Serial Saturdays with Sam and Jules. Hope that song made you feel a bit better, Sam.
A little bit.
Okay, good.
Jumpy tune.
You're on Sin 90.7. It's Get Serial Saturdays here with Sam and Jules for your long weekend.
And speaking of long weekend, Easter falls on April Fool's Day
this year. It does.
So I thought, what a fantastic opportunity to prank your loved ones. I've got a few ideas here about what you can do.
Oh, I thought, sneaky.
Well, like, come on. I come from a family that we prank each other. There's been several times where I was going to prank my cousin and then I felt bad about it. And then, you know, he would do the same prank to me. So I feel like, you know, it's up for grabs this year and I'm really going to take advantage of this.
Right. So you're going to up the intensity. Are we talking like, you know, not just the basic whoopee cushion sort of things. No. We're talking like full grade family, what's the word?
I don't even know, but
battles.
Battles. Well, I already do the thing where I slowly get back at my family by hiding certain things that they're looking for and they still haven't worked it out. That I'll put it in a place where they're like, why would I put this there? And you're like, yeah, why would you? That's weird.
That is classic.
I just slowly get back. I only do it to one family member.
Right.
And he knows who he is. And there's a reason why we're always digging at each other. But I thought this year I have a few tricks up my sleeve, so I'm going to give them a try. The first one is I'm going to delicately unwrap the little Easter eggs, the smaller ones, and instead wrap grapes up.
Yes, that's great. Because they're about the same size. I mean, it works. And
yeah.
They are still delicious, but most people are expecting a delicious chocolate inside.
And you're like, you sort of lead into it by saying something like you're hinting at that it's going to be a prank. And you sort of have the bag and you reseal the bag, I guess. And when you give it to them, they're like, oh, haha, very funny. And they sort of think it's just the first one. And then you keep going. And it gets to the point where the joke's over, but that's when it's so funny.
Yes.
And I will continue laughing. So they've got a whole basket of these grapes. They just think it's the first one. It's not the first one. It keeps going. And the other part of it is that I've already eaten the chocolate.
Oh, yes, exactly. Where does the chocolate go? In my mouth.
Yes. I have one that's a little bit cruel, which I don't think I would necessarily do, but if there's any little kiddies out there, I would maybe turn the radio off now. But for parents out there who want to destroy their children's dreams, you can tell them that the Easter Bunny isn't real.
Oh, Santa isn't real and the Easter Bunny isn't real.
What's the point of magical things?
No point.
I also had another one, which is having an Easter egg hunt and seeing how long it takes them to actually work out that there's no Easter eggs out there.
So say that there's an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, or hide one.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Find all the eggs.
Yep,
there's 50 of them.
Yep, see how long it takes them.
If it takes them up to June, if it takes them till like September, I would definitely be that type of mum. What about also super gluing? So I would take the little eggs, and this is another version of it, where I would gently unwrap them, cover the egg in super glue, so you ruin the chocolate.
Right.
And then you put the wrapping back on so that when they're trying to take off the wrapping, they get really frustrated, and then they realise the joke, that's the joke, and then they're like, oh, and I can't eat the chocolate as well. You've ruined Easter.
It's disgusting.
Yes. Another one, hard boil an egg, peel off the outside of the egg, cover it in chocolate.
Right. Delicious.
Well, which one would be your choice? If I was to pick one to prank my family with, which one?
I love the grapes one.
The grapes, okay.
It's a win-win. I mean, you can still get all the chocolate and you get the hilarity of putting it together and then watching their disappointment.
Definitely. And if I wasn't the youngest in the family, I would definitely do the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
So be careful when you're getting your eggs because you just never know which one in your family is a prankster, which one they're like, I'm going to get revenge this year.
And if you're stopping by Sam's house tomorrow, make sure that you check all the eggs.
Yes.
Don't get too excited. Sam, footy is back. Everyone is so excited. Well, most Melburnians are so excited about footy. Footy's back. Footy tipping's back.
Yeah,
Super
footy,
Cooch.
Footy.
Yeah, footy the
pie.
Boys.
Footy pie. Footy pie. Footy pie.
That's
this
my
is what
favorite.
Sam says every weekend.
Yes.
But the reason why I want to talk about footy, not only is it back, but I wanted to highlight the fact that a lot of the interviews, a lot of the on-the-field little chit-chats that the commentators have with the players, it's very vague, the answers that people give.
Yeah.
That I thought it could really apply to any sort of scenario, you know? So whether you're talking about everyday activities that you're doing, really the answers that these football players tend to give is quite, you know, it could apply to any sort of situation. So
basic, yeah.
Basic answers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still talking about their games, but I wanted to pose a few questions to a couple of footballers just to see if it could substitute for their answers. So our first footballer is Dane Swan. Now, Dane, over there. Yeah, I can see you there now. I just want to know that because you're a huge fan of Married at First Sight, you've been on the edge of your seat for weeks. And what I want to know, Dane, is what did you tell yourself in the lead up to the finale week to keep yourself stress-free?
You know, it's not over yet. We got one more week to go, so just try and prepare as normal and enjoy the week, but just try and prepare as normal.
Oh, good to hear you're preparing as normal. Thank you, Dane.
Good
I really appreciate that. My next footballer, I really want to chat to Sean Hampson. Sean, over there. Yep, thanks for making the time for me. Beautiful, Sean. We heard your fellow Tigers teammates were pretty unimpressed with your level of commitment last week to the all-you-can-eat buffet. I just want to know, what do you have to say for yourself?
We had a few boys out and for work cracking in like we usually do, and everybody was sort of playing for themselves, so we addressed that and we started cracking in.
You started cracking in? Okay, good. You were cracking into the buffet.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Good to hear that all the boys, they sort of stepped up this week
and
they made sure they got all the prawn crackers and they made sure they filled up their plates.
Oh, you have to have the prawn crackers.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
You have to.
And finally, I really, really wanted to chat to Mick Malthouse. Mick, thanks, Mick. Okay, Mick, we learnt on Monday that you got caught lurking on Alistair Clarkson's Instagram feed. Yes, yeah, we heard that. You did the accidental double tap. How did you deal with the shame of getting caught out, Mick?
Oh, no.
You get stronger from these things, and I think you get stronger from mistakes. We just didn't communicate strongly enough. Could have been a little bit more clear. I think we learned a lot about one another today.
You learned a lot about Alistair Clarkson today.
Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah, you said the stakes were high. That's very, very important. Yes, when you are looking at Instagram, don't double tap on things that you don't want to double tap on. It's quite embarrassing. But as he said, stronger from it.
Oh, I'm glad we all learned our lessons about Instagram, about the buffet and about Married at First Sight. But good luck for your football careers, guys. And all the best for this long weekend.
Say the darnest things. I hear the most bizarre things on the reg every single week that come out of kids' mouths. Just crazy things, really hilarious things, weird things that they do. And this week I have an interesting thing for you, Julia. I have a letter that a student has written me, and I thought it was just so cute, so cute. So this student took the time to go home, get a piece of paper, write down how she was feeling.
This is very cute.
And has, you know, brought the letter in to me.
What grade is this student in?
Year four, which was really cute. It's just, yeah, it's an adorable idea that this student went home and was thinking about me and my teaching and everything. Mm. And it's just nice to know that you make an impact on someone.
Absolutely.
And so I'll read out the letter to you. So it says, to Miss F, art is cool. You're an amazing art teacher. Also, you should realize the whole school needs you.
Oh, how sweet.
I thought it was so cute. And it's on this piece of paper in different colored pencil. And it's just, it's really cute. And she's corrected her spelling mistakes and everything. It's just adorable.
She's gone to so much effort. That's gorgeous.
I felt like showing it to everyone and going like, look, you guys need me. You need me. I can use it to sort of get a raise, I guess. Just put it down and say like, just read that and I'll expect my raise on Monday.
This is an official letter of recommendation.
Official. I should use it as a recommendation letter. It's so adorable. And I just think it's really nice to sort of be recognized for what you do and that, you know, I do spend hours and hours planning and making sure my activities are engaging and fun and the kids are also learning like life skills as well as art skills. So I put a lot of energy and a lot of love and effort into all that I do. And so it's really nice to sort of be recognized for all of that. And I do get the occasional thank you, especially from this student. I get, oh, thank you, Miss F. That was fantastic. Or that was a great lesson. Or I had a lot of fun. So
it's nice to know that kids are actually that reflective at that age too. So yeah, lovely.
It's lovely because everybody's, you know, always talking about how kids are forever on technology and how it's all changed and everything. Mm. But then you get this, you know, letter or you get a thank you from a student and you just go, well, it hasn't really changed that much. And it really depends on the person. It depends on the parents, on that student, whether they enjoy your subject as well. Because sometimes, you know, lead a horse to water, can't force them to drink.
Exactly.
So some students, it's a bit like that. You try your best. But it's really nice to know that my efforts are going somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you should be very proud of yourself, Sam.
Oh, thank you. Julia, I saw a fantastic photo, well, a collection of photos this week, about people who are trying to sell mirrors online and about how difficult it is to take a photo of a mirror.
Of course, because you're in the mirror.
I know, it's showing a reflection. And I saw one of my family friends do it. she took a photo of the mirror down sort of a hallway and I zoomed in and kept zooming in and I was like,
I see you.
You can see her standing there. And it was just really funny because nobody wants to put themselves in the photo when you're trying to sell, you know, the actual product. It's just kind of a bit embarrassing.
Unlike mirror selfies where it's obvious that you're trying to get in there, these are guys that are like, I'm just showcasing the product. I don't want to be in here.
And it's hard because when you look at the picture, you look at the person because your eye is naturally drawn towards somebody's face.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of have to be like, oh, wait, I'm looking at the actual mirror. And then you have to sort of make an effort to look at the frame of it and the quality of it, I guess.
Mm.
Normally it would be kind of a good quality, I assume. So you're kind of trying to find the frame for it. But I thought, surely it cannot be that difficult.
Surely, how hard can it be?
Yeah, so I actually am going to put it to the test.
Mm.
I have lots of mirrors in my house. I am going to try and take a photo of maybe two different types of mirrors. I have two different experiments. The first one is a mirror in a frame that I can take off the wall.
Oh.
And the way I'm going to do this, I have two different ways. The first one is by putting it on the ground and putting it on an angle facing away from me, sort of on maybe a right angle.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call it a right angle? Yeah. Maybe a little bit smaller than a right angle. And I would take a photo of it sort of not on the side, but kind of just on that angle.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm explaining this well.
90 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. 90 degree angle. Like a 45. 45. Okay. 90, you might not see, you'd just see the side of it. So 45. Degree
Do
angle.
I need to go back to math class?
Oh, my God. Yes, Julia. I was okay. 90 degrees?
Oh, help me. That's a square.
What? Maybe I'm thinking of the... Is it 90 degrees? Oh, my God.
Let's move on.
I feel like it is 90 degrees and I feel so stupid now. The half is 180, right?
Yeah, okay,
yeah, that's half, and then 90's a quarter.
You were right.
This is live maths for me.
I'm very silly. You were right. I'm sorry. So I'll take it on a 90-degree angle.
Yep, back to the mirrors.
And the other one, I will set up a self-timer. So yes. I'll take it from front on with a self-timer so I have enough time to run out.
Will the phone still get in the photo?
Yeah, but the phone, I feel like, doesn't really matter that much. It's as long as you're not in it. Like, we had people's hands, like, out, so they were holding the phone with their hand, or somebody from, like, a banister near, like, a staircase.
Selfie stick.
It was really funny, really funny. So I'll try that. So that one I'll take off the wall. The other one, which I think would be even more difficult, which I saw photos of, is mirrors that are actually stuck to the wall, like in a bathroom.
Yeah. And you can't move that.
No, you have to move yourself. And if there's not enough room, you've got to work out some sort of way. So I will do the same thing. I'll try it on an angle. I'll try it with a self-timer. And we'll just see what kind of hilarious results I come up with and what tips I come up with.
Excellent. We can't wait.
So if you are wondering how to take a picture of a mirror, I will let you know at the end of the day how I go with taking two different types of photos of two different types of mirrors. So keep an eye out if I'm ever selling anything. Maybe that'll be the mirror that you buy is one of mine, but we will just see.
Sam, I just wanted to use a couple of minutes now to take a bit of a throwback to a very well-loved for, I guess, it being the best, worst restaurant franchise in Australia.
Oh, God, there's so many. Which one?
Well, this one popped up in my Facebook feed. And, of course, the best, worst restaurant in Australia back in the 90s, back in the early 2000s, was Smorgies.
2, 4, 6, 8, Smorgies.
Yes, you know them well.
2, 4, 6, 8. Why the numbers?
I really don't know. I mean, yeah, it gives me good nostalgic vibes when I listen to that, Sam.
You could even hear, like, how 90s it is from the commercial. It's so...
Don't diss the commercial, Sam.
No, I'm not. I love it. I love how 90s it is.
Can't wait. But, yeah, it gave me all these nostalgic vibes. It was... Smorgies was the all-you-can-eat buffet. It was very cheap. It was... a family affair when we went to get some food there. And, you know, I loved the desserts as a little kid. I was probably like 9 or 10 when I went there.
Of course.
Yeah, there was the ice cream, the jelly, all the sprinkles that you put on. That was like ideal.
I have to admit that I don't think I was really in Melbourne at the time of Smorgies because I grew up in Kalgoorlie in Western Australia. So
you missed out.
I missed out. I never went to Smorgies. By the time that I was here, it was kind of done. I think it was all shut down.
Yeah, I mean, it's already gone now. So poof, sorry, Sam, but you don't have the opportunity to try it. I don't have the opportunity to go back as an adult.
Such a shame.
But it's all about the experience now. It's all about the quality. It's all about the name in the food world and the Instagram stuff and what it looks like online. So
Zomato and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Gone are the days of caring about places like Smorgies that I just really appreciated because now everyone is fighting over, you know, who has chef hats, who's got 5 Michelin stars, their fantastic feed on the gram. So I just want to send off Smorgies. I know it didn't get a proper goodbye from my childhood because it was gone for me. Sam, you never got to appreciate it.
I know. It's kind of a shame. I feel like we need to send Smorgies off in the best way possible.
Exactly.
That we can.
I wasn't invited to the wake, which I imagine would have been very well stocked in the jelly department.
Definitely.
And, you know, look, some people would say that you were too old for its time. Some say that, you know, you couldn't keep yourself clean.
Oh.
Some say that your prices were just too cheap. Some say they found plastic in your ice cream, but I never doubted you, Smorgies.
No, Julia never doubted you.
No.
And she misses you.
And there were some that miss you more and more every day. And there were some interesting reviews on word of mouth. I'm pretty sure they're all closed down from all the other websites. But word of mouth user Alon Max, he or she posted back in 2011, "My daughter and son-in-law took me to Smorgies at Bundoora for lunch yesterday. We nearly went somewhere else. Before we went, she had Googled a few reviews of some, which weren't encouraging. One had even used the word atrocious. There was a bit of discussion about that, but we decided to give it a go, and glad we did.
Oh, glad they had such a good experience. What a nice send-off for poor little Smorgies.
Exactly. A lot of people doubted you, Smorgies, but we knew that you could persevere. And unfortunately, although the franchise burnt to the ground and I think the Bundura one went up in smoke, thinking about you guys still warms our heart.
That was Feed Me Diamonds, the Rack Remix by MNDR. You're listening to Get Serial Saturdays with Sam and Jules. Unfortunately, that is all that we have for you today.
Yes, but if you've missed any of the show, of course, you can catch up on our podcast, the Get Serial podcast. Just search for it with your Apple Podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Omni, any podcast app that you have, you'll probably be able to find it there.
Exactly. We also have our tunes up on Twitter. If you thought, wow, that is an awesome tune, you can check it out on our Twitter at Get Serial.
Yes, like our very own Shazam.
And while you're there, you can check out our Facebook page and our Insta, same thing, at Get Serial.
Absolutely. Of course, we will be back next Saturday from 8 till 10. But until then, you can catch Get Serial on Monday for your Easter Monday from 6. Up next, it's the Saturday Stretch. See you guys.
See ya. Bye.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.